this should not happen.
We continue to press officials here in Johnston County for answers today after a 7-year-old girl claims she was sexually assaulted behind these walls of Johnston County Social Services.
There's a local Fayetteville company that has an artificial intelligence system that can tell the difference between a cell phone and a handgun.
Able to detect a gun, a weapon, within 2 seconds.
It's a system that can be used in many applications.
We're looking at a chilly and partly wet weekend. I'll show you our hour-by-hour rain chances for the rest of tonight and through tomorrow.
State and local police are investigating after a 7-year-old girl says she was sexually assaulted behind the walls of Johnston County DSS by a 17-year-old boy. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Tonight, the man leading that agency is addressing the allegations as the family of that little girl demands answers about how this could happen in the first place. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan spoke to the DSS interim director in an interview you will see only on WRAL.
DSS won't comment today on if the 7-year-old girl who claims she was sexually assaulted was unsupervised behind these walls or if any employees have been terminated or disciplined.
We take this seriously and we take the protection of children seriously.
For the first time, we're hearing from the interim director of Johnston County DSS after allegations a 7-year-old girl in DSS care was assaulted by a 17-year-old teenage boy.
Review the situation, take appropriate action, and mitigate this for the future. We are very concerned.
Smithfield police confirmed they're investigating an aggravated assault with sexual motives, but wouldn't say if a juvenile petition, which initiates a court case for someone younger than 18, has been filed. Neither would the DA. On Monday afternoon, the 7-year-old's mother spoke to us about the claim.
I'm astounded that there was even the possibility of this happening.
The 7-year-old's biological mother shared records of her daughter's visit to the emergency department at Wake Med, which states she was touched by a 17-year-old male in the custody of Child Protective Services while they were coloring in an office.
We have several protocols, and we have developed even further protocols for supervision of children. Unfortunately, children in the agency is becoming more of a norm.
DHHS said anytime a child is in custody of the local Department of Social Services and is in the office, regardless of whether they are visiting or staying there, the child should always be supervised by an employee or approved adult. Officials say that DSS here currently has 37 vacancies, but it's not known if a staffing issue played a role in this alleged incident. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Johnston County.
And the child's parents tell us that 7-year-old and her sister have been moved 5 times in the last few years. They say their most recent update was that the child was placed in a group home, not in school, and spending her days at DSS.
An Edgecumbe County school district employee is facing sex crime charges involving a student. This is 69-year-old Stephen Wells. He's accused of inappropriately touching 3 students, all of whom are part of the exceptional program at South Edgecumbe Middle School. Wells is no longer employed by the district, but was at the time of the offenses when they were reported. Investigators say the principal at the middle school reported a 14-year-old student was touched by Wells, and she told investigators he also touched 2 other students. We now know the name of the second woman who was shot in a home where a Duke graduate student was killed. Today, the suspect in the case, 30-year-old Stefan DeBose, appeared before a judge for the first time. He's charged with first-degree murder in the death of Angela Reese. Friends say the two were friends. DeBose is also charged with attempted first-degree murder for allegedly shooting Anna Semis. Court documents revealed her name, and now we're working to learn more about her. The judge denied bond to DeBose today.
Well, taking a live look now at the DBAP, it looks like this is the 2023 Fall Fan Fest here. Just a whole lot of people are all around having a good time. You know, some showers are popping up in parts of our area, but the big story this weekend, the cooler temperatures heading our way. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat, I bet there will be a lot of people who are going to be putting on blankets and jackets and maybe even lighting up the fireplace.
Oh, it's going to be a great weekend for that. Maybe some soup or chili. 73 the high tomorrow, 65 on Sunday. Tomorrow we have a chance for rain, but it's only in the morning. Then it turns breezy and cooler throughout the day. If we look at future casts, we still have a 20% chance of a stray shower in the forecast tonight. I really don't think we'll see anything anything around the triangle, though. Tomorrow morning, a different story. Early in the morning, our western counties could see a stray shower. We keep in that chance for rain tomorrow morning through about 11 a.m. in the triangle. By 11 a.m., it would mainly be the eastern part of our viewing area that we'd see any rain, and it quickly clears out lunchtime, the clouds gradually clearing during the afternoon. But it turns breezy, the northwest wind kicks in, and that's what's going to be pushing in much cooler air. So by tomorrow night into Sunday morning, check out these numbers. The coolest temperatures so far this season with lows in the low to mid 40s, 45 Raleigh, 44 in Durham. We have some ups and downs, though, to come in terms of temperatures, and I'm tracking those coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you.
A new artificial intelligence system is able to detect the moment a potential shooter walks into a building with a gun, triggering an immediate lockdown. Law enforcement officers are constantly training to respond to an active shooter situation at a school or a business. But what if those places had a way to detect a weapon before it got inside? WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays was given a demonstration of an artificial intelligence gun detection system in a story you'll only see on WRAL.
Well, in an active shooter situation, identifying a gunman as quickly as possible is important. Well, there's an artificial intelligence system that can do just that.
Video like this is etched in our hearts and minds. Students single file with their hands up after an active shooter incident on a school campus. But suppose the person with a weapon could be identified in the parking lot before they can even enter a building.
Like that. See, it picks it up immediately.
Malcolm Lewis is CEO of Foxhole Consulting. He's a former paratrooper. His veteran-owned business installs the OmniAlert AI gun detection system. It's being used by school systems and businesses across the country. Experts say in an active shooter situation, seconds can save lives.
This AI gun detection system, it will identify a weapon within 2 seconds, between 2 and 5 seconds, notify law enforcement, EMT, and all emergency crews, SROs on the ground.
Lewis says the system works with existing security cameras. It follows intruders from place to place.
So once it picks it up on the first camera, right, it transfers it to wherever that person is going. So, you know, it's always going to be some kind of camera coverage.
The system can identify a handgun or a long gun, like an AR-15. It also shows the difference between a weapon and an object being held, like a cell phone.
There's a green square, meaning that it's just an object or something, right? With the weapon, when it's identified as a weapon, it becomes a red square.
Well, it is pretty incredible to have a computer system identify a weapon as quickly as this one does. Right now, there are several companies in the area considering adding this to their existing video security systems. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WRL News.
To find out more about this system and how it works, we have a link of the information you need at the end of the story at WRL.com.
I'm Chris Lovingood in the WRL Live Center with some breaking news we've learned within the past hour or so from Cumberland County investigators about this man right here who was arrested, 37-year-old Kai Robbins. He's involved in a major drug bust that happened, and the arrest was made on September 29th. Investigators say that Fayetteville police teams, along with Hope Mills police, served two search warrants at two different locations in Hope Mills and in Fayetteville. I want to bring up some of the information they say that they actually managed to seize from those two properties. We're talking 5,700 grams of fentanyl pills, 2,000 grams plus of fentanyl powder, 500 plus grams of cocaine, 5 handguns, and approximately $360,000. Now, what's not clear exactly here is if anyone else is going to be arrested in this case, but again, this person, Kai Robbins, we know that he has been arrested and is currently on a $750,000 bond in jail right now. We're working to get more information from investigators, including, as I mentioned, if other people will be arrested in this case.
All right, Chris, thank you. It's not quite a puppy pandemic, but the dog flu is putting an end to adoptions at the Wake County Animal Shelter for the near future. 3 dogs have died from the dog flu, while 61 are battling upper respiratory infections. Most dogs recover in a couple weeks, but symptoms vary. Some can end up with pneumonia or even, in the worst case, die. A veterinarian says most of the signs of infection are the same as humans.
This would be coughing in dogs, nasal discharge. Those are certainly some big signs that we see. As dogs become more infected and more ill, there can be fever and lethargy, and pets can be off food.
The center will close for the next month. During that time, appointments to surrender or adopt a pet will be canceled.
An interesting point here. Did you know that eating more of one type of food can help fight climate change? The new campaign to eat more beans that could hold the key to saving the planet. Plus,
8 people have their names on the ballot for the next mayor of Durham. Only 2 of them will move on to the general election after Tuesday's primary. We spoke with a former mayor about what qualities the next leader of this city should have.
And some high-dollar homes are on the market in the Triangle, some even selling for about $7 million, like the one you're looking at now. How you can tour them for yourself.
Housing, transportation, crime, they're all on the minds of voters in Durham when they head to the polls Tuesday for primary elections.
8 people are running for mayor this year. 2 will move on to the general election. WRO's Monica Casey shows us who's running and what kind of leader a former mayor believes the Bull City needs.
On November 10th, Durham residents will come to polling places like this one and cast their ballots for the next leader of this city. 2 of the 8 candidates will move on to the general election. Durham is a city of change. Development is everywhere. Whip Gully, who's not among the crowded field, was the mayor of the Bull City from 1985 to 1989.
Or as I like to say, last century.
He tells me he believes some of the biggest issues then are the same ones now. One is transportation and another is affordable housing.
There's no really silver bullet, not just here, but in the country, because if there was, we'd have had it by now.
Of the 8 candidates running, some have sat on council already. Mike Woodard is a current state senator. He served on city council from 2005 to 2012. Leonardo Williams has been a city council member since 2021. He's a former teacher and now a local business owner. Deidreana Freeman has been a member of city council since 2017. She also serves as a nonprofit director. Some candidates have run for mayor before. Charlita Burris is a community advocate and pastor who has received a Neighbor Spotlight Award. Sylvester Williams is a retired financial analyst and a pastor. New faces have also launched campaigns. Marshall Williams Jr. is a current sales leader. His campaign website says he sat on multiple city boards. Jonte Dunston's Facebook page describes his campaign as one for citizens mayor, with a focus on respecting others. According to his LinkedIn profile, Nick Pettiford is a graduate of NC Central and a regional marketing manager. Gully says one of the most important qualities an ex-mayor should have is the ability to unite city council and the community.
It's got to be the person who says, I'm not going to just pay attention to who elected me, what groups or individuals played a key role. I'm going to try my best to be the mayor of everybody in this community and work for the whole community and try and make us rise together, because we will rise or fall together.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WREL News.
And it's not the only race to talk about. Voters in 9 counties will head to the polls to cast votes in 30 municipal races Tuesday. That includes Fayetteville and Rocky Mount. You can count on WRL for all your election coverage wherever you live. Go to WRL.com for results as they come in.
Hundreds of families are in search of affordable housing right now in Wake County. The problem many face is that there just simply aren't enough options. But WREL found out there are several projects in the works. County leaders just committed $3 million to bringing more than 100 units online in the future, and more are being discussed. We spoke with the affordable housing director at Wake County, who is optimistic about the future.
We're working with landlords through our landlord engagement unit. We're working with developers and incentivizing new units of affordable housing, which we hope will help because we will relieve some of the pressure on our very tight market right now.
If you want to learn more about options for affordable housing in the county, we've linked the information to our website, WRAL.com.
It's an interesting time. While there is a shortage of affordable housing in the Triangle, there's also this really high demand for high-dollar homes. So far this year, nearly 1,100 homes have sold for $1 million or more in Durham, Orange, and Wake counties. That's way up over last year's numbers. This, what you're looking at now, is a 9,000-square-foot home in Raleigh's Northridge neighborhood, just listed for just under $7 million. It has 5 bedrooms. There's an entertainment wing with a theater and an all-sports simulator, and it has a saltwater heated infinity pool.
But the amenities here are endless, and that's what we do in our luxury homes. We are finding that people are moving here, and this price point they will afford coming from different areas. It makes this even more affordable. Sometimes it sounds like it's not, but it is.
It'd be nice if $7 million was affordable. Now, some people have that luxury. You can see inside some of these newest homes that are for sale, including the $7 million mansion in Raleigh. They're open all weekend for free tours as part of the Triangle Parade of Homes.
How can you fight climate change from your kitchen? Some say these beans is how. That's the name of a global campaign that aims to double the consumption of beans and peas by the year 2028. Legumes are one of the planet's most sustainable protein sources, requiring dramatically less land and fossil fuels to produce than other protein sources. They're also affordable, they're rich in fiber and nutrients, and they can improve soil health too. More high-end chefs are putting beans on their menus for environmental reasons, including Sean Fowler at Mandolin in Raleigh.
I think one of the great things about beans is it's a great source of protein. It's not as energy, you know, dependent. Doesn't require as much water as in growing, you know, animal proteins. So I think there is a lot of reasons to consume more beans.
The Beans is How campaign is backed by more than 40 organizations, including Google and Bezos Earth Fund.
Beans, what's the rest of the saying? Listen, if you can't be out there on the lake, just take a look. Let's bask in it for just a moment. White Lake looking gorgeous tonight. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us with what is a pretty nice forecast. We do have some ups and downs when it comes to temperature.
But, you know, it's all around been a pretty nice week so far. We'll have ups and downs. Not a lot of rain in the forecast, though, while we go through these roller coaster temperatures. Today, we were pretty mild. We had a high of 80 once again. But here comes the chilly air rushing in behind the cold front for the weekend. It's going to stick around this weekend into Monday. But by Tuesday, we start our little bit of a warm up, and that will continue into the middle of next week. Thursday, the start of the state fair, above normal temperatures in the forecast. We expect to be in the upper 70s, coming near 80 for the high. But then we've got another downturn in temperatures at the end of next week. It looks like we've got another cold front that's going to swing through at the end of the week, and that's likely to bring another cool down for next weekend. So we're getting into this pattern with the Friday cold front, and this pattern could continue. When you look at our temperature outlook in the long range, October 14th through the 20th, above normal temperatures likely in the west due to the jet stream pattern, below normal temperatures likely in the east for the middle of October. We're getting close to that average first frost freeze for parts of our state by the time we get to the middle of the month. So we'll have to watch that, especially in the mountains and foothills. A rainfall outlook during the same time period, below normal for much of North Carolina. For us, next week, we have that little bit of a warm up just in time for Thursday when all the fun starts at the state fair. Partly cloudy, 79 degrees, but we do have a chance for rain in the forecast Friday ahead of what could be the next cold front at the end of the week. Tonight, things are quiet on the radar. This was expected. That's why we lowered rain chances after 6 o'clock just to 20%. I really don't think that there's going to be much rain left tonight, but we will see an uptick in some shower coverage tomorrow morning. It should be brief, just a chance for rain in the morning tomorrow. And then once we get midday into the afternoon, we will be dry for all of the college football games happening tomorrow. Kickoff temperature should be in the 70s all around. Pretty nice weather. It is going to be breezy and cooling. So if you have an extra layer, maybe you could bring a pullover, one of those quarter zips that you see a lot of times at the football games. It's perfect weather for that. Looking ahead, 65 is our high on Sunday, just 40s. Sunday morning, Monday morning, mid-40s, a chilly start. And then here's that warm-up next week. It'll be a gradual one, the chance for rain returning by next Friday. Ashley and Dan.
All right. How many quarter zips do you have?
I'm a quarter zip guy when it calls for it.
Hey,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's perfect weather for that.
That's right.
If you're looking for a nice meal out this weekend and reason to support local, you can still check out some special menus for Downtown Raleigh's Restaurant Week for a few more days. What your family needs to know coming up.
If you're looking for some excuse to get out this weekend, have a date night or something, don't forget Downtown Raleigh Restaurant Week is underway.
A number of restaurants are offering specials and unique menu offerings all weekend through Sunday, so it's the perfect time to support local. 87% of restaurants downtown are locally owned and independent. Some participating restaurants include Gravy, Irregardless Cafe, Vidrio.
There you go.
That's it.
I'll be there this weekend, actually. Whoa. That's how I know. Yeah, I'm
going
there.
Go see Dan Haggerty and the Union Special and many more. You can find more information downtownraleigh.org. Right now, the 9th annual Triangle Oktoberfest is underway in Cary.
Festivities started at the top of the hour, and tonight and tomorrow at Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. Love Cocoa Booth. It's fun down there. Video from the 2019 event you're seeing there. It includes live music, traditional Bavarian food, and German beer. It's Oktoberfest. You got to have all that stuff. There's